BBC News.
Read by Howard Philpott. I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue is back. Not quite yet, but right after this.
If a song comes quickly, it usually means it's good because it's just fallen out of the sky. Don't Look Back in Anger took, you know, 15 minutes.
One of the biggest songwriters of his generation talks to Kirsty Young.
I still believe there's just somebody up there and they're just dropping songs all over the place. And if I'm not ready to catch them, Chris Martin's getting them and Bono's getting them and they've had enough.
Noel Gallagher on Desert Island Discs on Sunday morning at 11:15 here on BBC Radio 4.
Now it's time to welcome back to the airwaves Radio 4's perennial antidote to panel games.
We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
And welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week on a visit to Hastings, the historic seaside town in East Sussex. A Saxon charter of AD 875 shows the first recorded instance of the town's name as Hagensteng, meaning high stone. This was a large ceremonial stone where, in celebration of the winter solstice, all the virgins of the town would gather wearing crowns of mistletoe. And you can still occasionally find mistletoe here. The Blue Reef Aquarium in Hastings includes Britain's biggest collection of nurse sharks. They're known as nurse sharks because they have to do lap dancing at weekends if they want to get fed. And it was there that it was discovered that the only mammal other than humans to actually enjoy sex is the dolphin. The keeper who made the discovery has asked us not to give his name. Nearby is the natural feature called Beachy Head, which at 531 feet above sea level is the highest chalk sea cliff in Britain. It is also one of the most famous suicide spots in the world, second only to the Golden Gate Bridge, with over 20 deaths a year. What a depressing statistic. Second. We are today guests at the White Rock Theatre in Hastings, which has 1,066 seats. This venue shouldn't be confused with the 1,939-seat White Flag Theatre in Paris. Let's meet the teams. They are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Miles Duff. And taking her place at the desk next to me, please welcome our scorer, the ever delightful Samantha. Well, we start this week with a look at unsuccessful book titles. As we all know, the world of publishing has undergone seismic technological changes, from e-books that can be found online to Kindles that can be found on South African birthday cakes. Not all books are assured of success, so teams, I'd like you please to suggest titles of books that would be guaranteed to flop. Tim, you can start.
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Commerce.
Miles.
There's Wally.
Graham.
Tolstoy's Annika Rice.
Barry.
Lady Chatterley's Mother.
Three men and a goat.
We need to keep shtum about Kevin.
A sale of two titties.
The caterpillar who'd already eaten, thanks.
Lady Chatterley's loofah.
The visible man.
Toss of the d'Urbervilles.
Well, now to a round called One Song to the Tune of Another. As a musical round, it'll play to the strengths of our own Barry Cryer, who for many years was the pantaloon-clad frontman of 70s prog rock giants Emerson, Lakeside, Thurrock. So we'll start with you, Barry, please. I'd like you to sing the words of Nymphs and Shepherds by Henry Purcell to the tune of Lee Marvin's Wandering Star.
Nymphs and shepherds, come away, come away. Come, come, come. Come away, come away. In this grove, let's sport and play. Let's sport and play, let's sport and play. For this is Flora's holiday. This is Flora's holiday.
Thank you, Barry.
Well, you enjoyed that, but try walking him home at 2 a.m. when he's doing it. Funny. You now, Tim. I'd like you to sing the words of Barbie Girl by Aqua to the tune of We'll Gather Lilacs.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere. Imagination, life is your creation. I'm a blonde bimbo girl in a fantasy world. Dress me up, make it tight, I'm your dolly. You're my doll. Rock and roll, feel the glamour in pink. Kiss me here, touch me there, hanky panky.
So your turn now, Graham, and I'd like you to sing the words of Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel to the tune of the Morecambe and Wise classic Bring Me Sunshine.
Well, since my bay, a bee left me, I found a new place to dwell. It's down at the end of Lonely Street at Heartbreak Hotel. You make me so lonely, baby. I get so lonely, I get so lonely, I could die. And although it's always crowded, you can still find some room where broken-hearted lovers do cry away in the gloom. You make me so lonely.
And finally, Miles, I'd like you to sing the words of the Marrow Song to the tune of Bonnie Tyler's Holding Out for a Hero.
Do 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 do. Ah, down the road there lives a man I'd like you all to know. He grew a great big marrow for the local flower show. And when the story got around, they came from far and wide. And when the people saw the marrow, everybody cried. Oh, what a beauty! Because that before it must be 2 feet long or even more. It's such a lovely colour and nice and round and fat. Oh, what a beauty! I never thought a marrow could grow as big as that. I've never seen one as big as that before. As that before.
The next round is about autobiographies. It's a little-known fact that most famous people employ ghostwriters to complete their autobiographies. Here's an example from Arthur Scargill's. See if you can spot the hand of the ghostwriter. Friday, May the 3rd, 1976, the Grimethorpe pit management are still refusing to refurb the bucket chain excavator for the fourth time of asking. Okay, teams, I brought with me the first sentences of various celebrity autobiographies, each of which has been interrupted. And your job is to try to finish them off. So start with you, please, Tim. Mm-hmm. This is autobiography of Mary Berry, Recipe for Life. In the words of my father, my birth caused...
the bun to leave the oven.
It's actually no end of trouble. Miles, here's some words for you. This is Anne Widdecombe from her book, Strictly Anne, the autobiography. Twice in recent years, the makers of the television programme Who Do You Think You Are have approached me to see if...
I'd stop ringing them.
It's actually my ancestry might be sufficiently interesting for one of their programmes and have concluded that it is not. Barry, your autobiographical opening comes from Michael Caine. What's it all about? I first started to act at the age of...
58.
At the age of 3. And Graham, the opening from Rick Stein, Under a Mackerel Sky. I loved fishing off the rocks with my...
fellow members of the Euphemism Society.
with my dad. So, look, here are some for any of you to have a go at. This is the opening from Alan Carr, Look Who It Is, My Story. I remember running and touching a tree, any tree, and then running back to my father and then running to a tree that was a little further away and then...
wishing we had an indoor toilet.
And then back to my father and so on. This is from Adolf Hitler from Mein Kampf. It has turned out fortunate for me today that...
my bar mitzvah has been postponed.
It's actually that Destiny appointed Bruno on the Inn to be my birthplace. This one is Sir Roger Moore, My Word Is My Bond, the autobiography. It was just after midnight on the 14th of October, 1927, when Lily Moore gave birth to a 23-inch long...
raised eyebrow with a small baby attached.
A baby boy at a maternity hospital in Stockwell, London, SW8. This is the opening words from Eminem, The Way I Am. I knew I wanted to be a rapper when I...
got a job in a gift shop.
When I was around 14. Here's the first line from Noel Coward's autobiography, Present Indicative. I was photographed naked on a cushion very early in...
the morning, having breakfast with a Moroccan sailor.
It actually says very early in life. And finally, Raymond Blanc, A Taste of My Life. When I was a child and it was summertime, my mother, Anne-Marie, would make a simple but delicious...
tart for the whole village.
Actually, tomato salad as well.
Close.
Okay, well, it's time for a round originally known as Duck Serenade, in which the teams will attempt to produce a duck version of some popular tunes. Each panellist has been issued with his own duck, which he has been specially training to provide an a cappella rendition of a well-known tune for the remaining panellists to guess. Now, if I deem any duck to be struggling to hold a tune, I'll ask Colin Sell to provide piano accompaniment. Coincidentally, Colin tells us that birds have played a pivotal role in his career. He says that once in 1974, he was prevented from playing the cello by a little thrush, so he took up the piano instead. Okay, so teams, do you all have your ducks with you?
Yes.
Good. Excellent. Right. Well, Tim, you're to start. Please encourage your duck to perform for us now, please.
Ah.
you, before you take credit for that, Tim, they actually sing that song every night here in Hastings. Feeling still running high. Your turn now, Barry.
Bit of a celebrity, my duck, actually.
Is he?
Yeah, I call him Quack D. You know, he does an amazing act, Jack. He won't do it now because it's radio. He tap dances on a biscuit tin.
Does he really?
Goes so well until the night the candle went out. But here he goes. Come on, son.
I can tell you, I've got the answer here, and I still don't know what that is.
He does experiment with rhythm, Jack. He's right. Got his own sense of rhythm.
His own sense of rhythm.
Could Colin help us out with this one?
Maybe Colin should help out a little bit with it, Jess. Can you...
In the house.
Did you get it this time? Did anyone get it?
He did it
no
his
idea.
Way, I think.
My way.
It was my way. Done, well, the duck's way, really. Your turn, Miles. Your duck, Miles. Say sweet.
That is the best I've heard him do it.
Did anyone know what that was? Did you
Can we hear it again?
You might have to let us know what that was, Miles.
That was the popular song Let It Go from the film Frozen. I've not seen it, but my duck's a big fan.
No. So finally, it's Graham's turn. If you can get your duck ready and encourage... Thank you, Graham.
Old MacDonald had a duck, wasn't it?
It was Old MacDonald had a farm, of course it was. And of course the audience clapping along very nicely. I had my doubts when I saw all the coaches outside, but that was... The next round is all about letters. In this game, each team will take it in turns to improvise the letters sent between two famous figures, with the players providing one word each at a time. So, Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from King Harold to William the Conqueror, and then Tim and Miles will come up with the reply and so on. So off you go, please, Barry and Graham.
Dear
William,
I am currently
worried
about
the
possibility
that
you
might
invade
this
land
of
ours.
Because
I
can...
see
many
ships
and
in
my
estimation
there
must
be
a
hundred
of
them
or
more,
maybe.
So,
look
here.
If
I
get
drunk,
will
you
postpone
the
invasion
just
for
me?
And
also,
would
you
also
like
to
have
a
cup
of
tea
on
Tuesday
afternoon
or
Wednesday
afternoon
or
even
Friday
afternoon?
So,
how
about
it?
If
you
do
come
from
France,
I
hope
we
will
have
a
barbecue.
Your
regal
chum,
Harry.
Kiss, kiss.
Dear
Harold,
I
do
not
like
you
at
all.
You
silly,
stinky
English
bastard.
I
prefer
a
Welsh
woman.
Ideally,
one
called
Hilda.
My
wife
is
called
Harold.
Named
after
you.
It
is
my
pleasure
to
give
you
an
almighty
arrow
through
your
head.
But
also
I
would
like
to
give
you
one.
I
lied
about
that
wife
of
mine
who
was
called
Harold
because
she
is
actually
called
Bernard,
named
after
Mr.
Bernard
Cribbins.
So,
lots
of
love
and
kisses.
Guillaume.
Well, the next game combines music and jokes, a combination perfected by 70s comedy funk titans Earth, Wind and Cryer. In this round, Colin will play a series of musical clues which fit together to form a well-known joke. And the teams must try to identify each clue in turn. The team which correctly identifies the joke will win. Okay, so fingers on buzzers, teams. Colin, can we have the first musical clue for the first joke, please? Tim.
Is that Dominica, the singing nun?
It is.
Well, it's the first joke I ever heard was, what fun can a monk have? None. But it's not that, is it?
It's not that joke that we're heading towards, no, so we probably need a bit more. Can we have another clue, please, Colin? Graham?
I think that's driving in my car.
It is,
isn't it?
It is, it is.
There was a nun driving her car, and a drunk blundered out into the road and nearly got run over, and she stopped the car, got out, and laid into him and told him a few home truths, and the drunk just knocked her out. And then he stood over and he said, not so tough now, are you, Batman?
Can we have another music?
I think we may have another clue, please. Barry.
two nuns driving in
what
a
was
car.
What was the music first?
Was it Monster Mash?
It was, yeah, it was Monster
Mash. Oh, I'm sorry. I was very remiss of me there. Yeah. Two nuns driving along in a car, stopped at the lights. Dracula suddenly landed on the bonnet, and they were terrified. And one nun said to the other, "Show him your cross." She said, "All right, get off my bloody bonnet."
That's it. That's actually that's the joke we were headed towards, Barry. So you got it. Good. Let's hear another one. Colin, can you just play the first clue, please? Miles?
That's Tight Fits, The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Mm.
A lion goes into a restaurant, and he sits down. The waiter comes over and says, "Would you like to order a starter, sir?" And the lion says, "Yes, I'll have the salmon." "Very good," says the waiter, and then he says, "What would you like for your main?" And the lion says, "Oh, just a comb."
One more clue, please, Colin.
Yes, Sending the Clowns.
Yeah. It was Sending the Clowns, not, yes.
Yeah, the owner of the circus says to this clown, the lion tamer's off sick. You know his whole act, you watch him do it. He said, "Yeah, okay." He said, "If they start misbehaving, you crack the whip or push the chair." He said, "Yeah, but I've got to do it tonight, not you." He said, "What if it really goes wrong?" And he's really jumped off his pedestal and he's really coming at me. And the owner said, "Reach behind yourself, pick up a lump of poo and throw it in his face." He said, "Will there be poo behind me?" He said, "Will there be poo?"
It's not that one. We haven't got to the joke that we're after yet. So, another clue, please.
No one did it.
Yes, Tim.
It's the Laughing Policeman.
It is, of course it is, yeah.
It's Tommy Cooper joke that suddenly comes to mind. And police arrested two kids yesterday. One was drinking battery acid, the other was eating fireworks. And they charged one and let the other one off. See where I tell them.
So that wasn't the actual joke that I was hoping to get to. Anyone know what it is?
No. Is it the two lions were eating a clown? And one said to the other, "Does this taste funny to you?"
It was that one, Graham. Yes, that's correct. Yes, sir.
What have the policemen got to do with it?
Oh, it's because it's funny, isn't it? They're funny.
Oh, that's the chorus going
laughing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh. Laughing. You're right, that is misleading, because very rarely do you laugh at clowns. As I see. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the sillet bang of time dissolves the stubborn gravy stain of destiny and the glade plug-in of eternity perfumes the living room of existence, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha and myself and our audience here in Hastings, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor and Miles Jupp have been given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.
That was a BBC radio comedy production, and Jack D and the teams will be back at the same time next week. And Miles Jupp will be here tomorrow evening at 6:30 with more panel game shenanigans in It's Not What You Know. On Front Row in 15 minutes, Ant-Man is the latest Marvel comic to make it to the screen, this time starring Paul Rudd as a petty criminal. Tim Robey reviews the film right after The Archers.
Why do some Brits choose to live abroad?
I can work literally a week per month and then cover my bills.
Is life easier for them than for the locals?
You know, there's a friend of ours who had a triple bypass. The Bulgarians who were undergoing the same sort of treatment had to pay something towards it, and he didn't.
Join Safraz Manzoor in five European countries.
Nobody wants to go to a French hairdresser because they just can't understand what you want.
Brits Abroad on BBC Radio 4 next Monday to Friday at 1:45.
BBC News at 7 o'clock.
The Greek Prime Minister, Alexis Tsipras, has been meeting ministers in Athens after agreeing tough new austerity measures in return for a third international bailout. Earlier, he was told by Eurozone leaders in Brussels that he must push measures, such as changes to employment laws, through Parliament by Wednesday. The Greek minister in charge of reform, George Katrougalos, said the Europe of austerity had won, but he defended the role played by Mr. Tsipras.
Everybody in Greece understands that the Prime Minister has given a fight at impossible odds, and he has taken what was possible under the circumstances. The first obligation of a soldier is not to surrender and then to stay alive for the next battle. And I think Prime Minister has succeeded in doing that.
Labour's interim leader, Harriet Harman, has stepped back from a head-on confrontation with MPs in her party over her position on benefit cuts. She'd been criticised for announcing that Labour wouldn't oppose restrictions on child tax credits announced in last week's budget. But Ms Harman, who's been meeting Labour MPs and peers this evening, now says it will be up to a future leader to decide policy. An investigation has begun into the cause of an explosion at an industrial plant in Norwich which killed two workers. Emergency services have been unable to recover the bodies because of a high level of chemicals in the air. Last-minute disputes over language are continuing to delay a major international agreement aimed at ending the dispute over Iran's nuclear programme. Speaking in Vienna, the Iranian foreign minister hinted the latest deadline of midnight could be missed. A former MEP who took part in a high-profile anti-corruption campaign has been jailed for 5 years for fraudulently claiming nearly £500,000 in expenses from the European Parliament. Ashley Moat sat as an independent MEP for South East England until 2009 after being thrown out of UKIP. A judge at Southwark Crown Court told him his greed was matched only by his hypocrisy. BBC News.
In the Archers in a moment, Ruth can't get through to the right person, but first...